This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music? Totally rad. The fashion? So fly. Home decor? That's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Sir Jeremy Shear, can you ponder me a query?
Yeah.
Do you love your brother?
I love my brother. Do you love your brother?
I do love my brother. How much do you love your brother?
I love my brother Chris Clem so much it hurts my heart.
I love my brother so much I listen to his podcast, the C4 podcast, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
Ooh, that's crackers good, mate. It's the best sports ball podcast on the whole Lousy Weather Media Network.
I heard he just gives himself the old leapin' lanny the whole time.
Oh yeah, Chris Clem definitely has the reach for the old leapin' lanny, mate.
Do you know who Chris Clem's favorite wrestler is?
Who's Chris Clem's favorite wrestler, mate?
The Undertaker. The Dead Man.
The Dead Man.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about.
That's Chris Clem.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
To let the hate flow through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we move back to the media. Social media, to be more specific. Joining us to talk about it this week is comedian... Blah! I almost called you Ginger Rogers.
We're going to roll with that.
I almost did it. I almost did it. I am an asshole. Yeah, let's roll with that. Yeah. Comedian Ginger Moore.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, and, thank you.
I was actually just bitching about this earlier today, like about how maybe it wasn't today, but it was recently. I was talking about how I use Twitter and Facebook and Instagram a lot, and I got to the point about a year ago where I unfollowed so many people. I won't unfriend people. I just don't, because I don't need like the drama of like, why'd you unfriend me? Because if I unfollow you, it's because I don't give a shit what you have to fucking say. And if I unfollow you, you're never going to know the difference. Except on Twitter. Like, because there are people I found out on Twitter and Instagram who like find out who unfollows them. I'm like, well, you're out of the 400 people that follow you, you're worried about one. And it's me who gives a shit.
There is that. I'm one of those guys. So, Ginger, why do you hate Facebook?
Well, Facebook and a lot. All of them. It's hard to sum up in a sentence.
Well, so, a starting point.
I could sum it up in two words. That's three. Comparison game.
Okay.
It's a comparison game.
So, can you...
So it's kind of like church, where people get together to, like, compare clothing and shit.
Yeah, it's like a... it's keeping up with the Joneses on steroids.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's just people that are glued to their phone, or is it even the casual user of Facebook just has to see how they're stacking up against the quote-unquote competition?
Probably, I'm actually jealous of the casual user. Mm-hmm. And actually a lot of people that say they're, oh, I'm not on Facebook, or like my dad's not on Facebook. And I just tell people at that point, don't even bother then getting on. It's not worth it.
Oh, no. Unless you like, I mean, I'm like of the firm belief, and like, unless I can't say that. I mean, for me and like who I interact with, I'm like, if you're not there to like promote something that like is going to get you gain in the future, like I use it to fucking create a, as Jeremy called it, a cult of personality for myself, because I don't really want to be a stand-up comedian like at all anymore. So I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm doing something, and it's because I have a product to promote, like, and I want people to think, oh, that guy's funny, you know, so I gotta post shit on there. But aside from like keeping up with family, I refuse to talk to my family on Facebook. I refuse to talk to a lot of my family in real life. Like, what makes you think through the internet is gonna, like, and one of my uncles from Florida, he's just a big, dumb fucking idiot. He'll send me those, like, stupid videos, like, the pass-on messages, like, of, like, a chick with her tits hanging out, and then, like, they scroll down, and then has a dick. And it's like, A, I mean, why the fuck did you send that to me? Well, it's funny, pass it on, just don't say anything to anybody. No! And I forget who tweeted it the other day, but it was like, it might have been Hallie Pinion or Stephanie. I think it might have been one of them, or they might have retweeted it. And it was like, I'm where your passed on messages go to die. And I was like, that is perfect. Like, that is absolutely 100% me. Like, fuck your stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
But that's not really like the comparison game. That's just people fucking being bored with their fucking dull lives.
Yeah, so where do you find yourself comparing and contrasting when you're on Facebook?
It's actually gotten better with age.
Okay.
And there's actually, there are positives to Facebook and social media. You know, it's not that I completely hate, I'm on it myself often. But if you already come from a natural place where you have a judging mind, mm-hmm. then it's, if you're not careful, you can get caught up in all the stuff that goes on there.
Oh, like Facebook arguments.
Facebook arguments, or even just like presenting a specific, how you think your life should look.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship, and looking back, I realized at the beginning, part of that relationship was really heavily driven on somebody likes me, and now I can be like my friends, and I'm in a relationship.
Yeah.
And that was more the focus than getting to really, truly know this person.
Yeah. It's just that now I have this thing that I'm supposed to have, and I could be happy.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that has been stopping me from getting in a relationship. It's like, am I trying to do this because it's normal, or do I really want this?
Yeah. Yeah, and like keeping, it's because whether it's a relationship or even having a kid, like something positive in your life happens, we automatically want to shout it and share it with the world. And that's a positive in a way with Facebook. But then I do the same thing where I'm questioning my motives. And
Especially like, you know, as you are a comedian, shouting out certain things that you're doing, are you really happy with it, or are you just bragging?
Yeah.
That's part of, well, whatever. That's part of the game, dude.
Well, you know, bragging is, we come from wrestling, so it's like, it's bragging.
Yeah, no, it's brag. Tell them who's going to win. Tell them why.
Tomahawk!
What's funny, actually, with the bragging and comedy is, before I got into comedy, I was a competitive runner. And you probably already know, like, on Instagram, like, fitness models and runners, it's huge. I try to keep figuring out which ego's bigger, that of a runner or a comedian.
Well, at least, like, runners have something to brag about. Like, I can do what comics do. Like, I'm not going to even attempt to do what runners do. I have no, like,
please,
I can
do.
I can look at it and be like, my friend Lee, she's, you know, I've known her for 3 or 4 years now, and like, she's super into that, and it's like, hey, you know what, fucking good for you. And like, I'll see her once a month, once every couple months, and we'll talk, and she'll tell me about all this stuff. I'll listen to it. Fuck yeah, good for you, because I'm not gonna do it. Somebody's got to. And if like, you're telling me because you want me to do it, don't waste your fucking time. I'm not running anywhere, except for maybe from the cops. Come on, I gave you a softball on that one.
You're not going to run from the cops. You're going to squeal like a little piggy when you're being tased.
By a piggy?
Yeah. Pig on pig violence.
There's, all right, there you go. Like, that's a social media thing. Like, the people in your life, because, you know, we're all friends with, you know, what would you say, 300, 400, 500 people on Facebook. I can count my real real friends on, like, my hands and toes, like, if I want to be generous. The people that I've, like, known and, like, because I'm friends with maybe 10 people I went to high school with, mm-hmm. four of which I consider really good friends. The other six just kind of found me on Facebook because I don't go by my real last name and stuff. And it's not because of that. It's just because, like, stage name's easier to say. It's not, I'm not hiding from the world. You can fucking find me if you want to. But, like, the people who, like, for some reason, like, the people you work with, they always want to be your fucking friend on Facebook. And I'm like, why? Like, I see you for 8 hours a day and I don't like you here. I don't want to see what dumb bullshit you have to say after work. And then when I see Blue Lives Matter shit, I'm like, all right, mute. I don't, we're done here. Because they're the same people that, like, you know, if you make a left-leaning fucking statement on your Facebook page, generally with me, it tends to, like, I try to make a joke out of it. And, well, you know, you have the asshole on it. Well, you know, the cops, this, that. Like, I don't fucking care. And I'm not here to argue with it. Like, you want to argue? Come on my fucking podcast and we can talk about that. Like, I'm not here to argue with somebody on Facebook. Ever. It's pointless to me. Twitter, on the other hand, I know people that argue with people on Twitter.
Are they in this room?
They are in this room.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Is that why you hate social media?
I don't hate social media. No? This is why I don't hate social media. Facebook in particular, just because it's the big one.
Right.
I know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I have 1,800 friends on my Facebook, yeah. And I know all of them. Like, I am aware of who they are and what they do. And I'm interested in what they're doing. And this is the only way I can keep up with all of them.
Okay.
Also, I have a product to sell. Me. And this is the only way I can reach. I'm not reaching all 1,800, obviously. No. The likes that I'm getting and the metrics that I'm getting don't indicate that. But this is the cheapest, easiest way to reach a large number of people in the area without, you know, going door to door with flyers.
Well, I mean, dude, like, for we just had my 30th birthday. We did a live episode, and a lot of people showed up. Like, I'd say there was probably
Ginger showed up.
I was there.
You
at the
were
end.
There.
Yeah,
oh shit.
Middle.
Okay.
Middle.
All right. Awesome. Like, thank you. Like I'd say there was probably in that room 70 people. Like, that at max capacity at one point, and I was mm-hmm. like, I did that all through. I mean, I had Jeremy would tweet it here and there, but I basically did that myself. And I was like, this is why Facebook is good. That's why it's okay.
So, all right. So we've said that the keeping up with the Joneses aspect of Facebook is awful. What else is awful about Facebook?
One thing that really comes to mind, a while ago, I had a friend who does social media analytics for a living. He's from Great Britain, so it's a little bit different because it's a British approach. Mm. But he had posed this question to my friends and I and said, if you could climb Mount Everest but you couldn't post it on Facebook, would you climb Mount Everest? Mm. And half of the group, they had to take some time to think about that. Even myself, I had to, you know, it's like the glory of doing something like yeah. that. Yeah, you want the whole world to know. But it kind of goes back to your question of what's the motivation mm-hmm. behind it. And I think for me, the part that is challenging, even as you get older and you care a little bit less, is that you do have to have it in check or...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no different than being on stage, and that feels good on the ego.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Especially
yeah.
when you get validation, but...
Yeah.
I don't know what that's like.
If you're not aware of it, It can go haywire, or it can eat you alive because you're constantly thriving that adoration. Because what I was getting at is you post something, let's say, or even as a comedian, you post a joke and it gets a couple likes or the little laughing emoji. And, and then you get addicted to that high of like constantly checking your phone. Oh, how many people are going to like this? And if you're not aware of that, and then that's where you're seeking a lot of your happiness or pleasure, it'll get you in the end.
It's like the whole fear of missing out thing that's really come into like the forefront the last few years. Like, it's there. It's definitely, that's a real fucking thing.
FOMO.
Yeah, FOMO, which is the stupidest fucking whatever. I'm not even going to go there. But like, we had a big discussion about that at work, like, because everybody's always on their phones and stuff. And it's just weird because I was like, I'm reading this article about it. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking true. Like, it's very interesting. But like, there's been times in my life where I've taken a step away from social media. Like, I've deleted all the apps. Like, I'll check them through the browser every once in a while, whatever. But like, I finally just got to the point, like, when I started unfollowing people all the time, that's when I was like, okay, I can do this again and not be completely addicted to it. Because for a while there, it was just like, I mean, this is 2-3 years ago. Like, I would constantly just be refreshing my phone to be like, what did people say? Who did, like, now I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And even like the younger generation, the what they're calling Gen Z, I think now, behind the millennials.
Oh, we've now got another one?
Yeah.
That's fuck, man. Okay.
They I forgot what I was gonna say about them.
About the Gen Z?
Yeah, Gen Z. That'll come back. I totally forgot.
Well, they live on fucking Facebook, or they live on social media. Like,
yeah, that's what I think. It's more Snapchat with every.
They're finding that there's hope in a way. This is not what I was going to say, but it's kind of on the topic that more of their communications becoming more personalized and between each other, like on Snapchat or sending private messages or like in small groups.
Yeah,
they're kind of staying away from more of the Facebooks and
gotcha.
Well, yeah. I mean, I found that the people that I've maintained a closer relationship with, I'm going to interact with more one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's a direct result of me interacting with them more one-on-one, or is it just because I value them more? I don't know what it is.
I mean, that's probably because you value them more, I would imagine.
More than likely. But, I mean, a few of those people have made the outward motion to be like, this is how I prefer to interact with you.
Like, I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. Like, I was on Twitter in like 2009, and the only times I've ever deleted tweets is when I fuck up like grammar or something, because like I've said this a million times on this show, if you want to make fun of me, go have your happy ass a good time, get on a computer and download my entire tweet archive. You'll laugh for fucking hours. I cried and whined like a little fucking baby all the time. And I've gotten, like, that's why I hate the, I love the, here's what you did on this day, see your memories bullshit. Like, I like that until I get to, like, 2010, 2009. I'm like, oh, Christ. Like, this kid existed and I put this shit out in the world. It's awful. But, like, people who still do that on, like, the poor me shit. It just drives me nuts. And like, when people do the poor me shit and try to make it funny and it's still not funny, that's what drives me up a fucking wall.
I feel personally attacked.
No, it's not people like you. I won't name names, but
I really liked your New Year's status or your look back at the year.
Oh, thank you.
I ripped that directly from him.
Yeah. I do like posts like that where you can tell somebody's genuinely just putting themselves out there. And it is like almost like a vulnerable moment, or you can tell when something comes more genuine.
Like when I did my, cause he did his, and I was like, I mean, I accomplished a lot in 2017, and I know people saw it throughout the year, but I wanted to recap it for myself so that like in a year, 2 years from now, I can be like, okay, well, this is where you were. Now you're here. And like at the end of mine, I specifically wanted to be like, look, we all have bad fucking times, but you can get past that shit. Like, I tried to make it, like, uplifting and not just about me. But my whole thing is, like, if I can do the shit that I do and have the successes that I have, literally fucking anybody can. Because I'm a fucking ex-drug addict, loser piece of shit alcoholic. I'm still some of those things. Like, but if I can bring myself up anybody fucking can. And like, I, that was the point of mine. I wanted to like, just if you take any inspiration from me, I'm sorry, but make it one of the good things, please.
So you mentioned the running community. Now, when you first discovered this, was it more of a community, and has it become a game of one-upsmanship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's in any, I don't know if it's like a hobby or what you would call it. I mean, what you would refer to what we do.
A competitive hobby? I
mean, yeah. It's any group or people that you associate with, I think eventually, like from a sociological standpoint, you probably have these trends of things taking over where different cliques form or mm-hmm. certain behaviors happen. With the running, there's a lot of drama, and people would maybe see things like on Facebook or Instagram, like what's happening. Oh, like I haven't heard from this person in a while, or what's going on in their private life. And then maybe you'd meet up for a run and then you'd share that drama there. It's, I mean, it's the same in any
group. That's politics.
Yeah.
Except you're not running anywhere. You're not meeting people to run.
No, definitely not.
Me and Cher, we meet and sit. That's what we do.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I am not an active fellow. I smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I am not running from the cops. I'm going to try to talk my way out of it.
But see, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're going to have the same bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a direct result of social media, or just has it made bullshit easier?
Yeah, I think it's made bullshit easier, because one thing I took from my friend that does the social media research is that it's easy to put that quick blame on it, but it's social media is not the problem. It's just another avenue where we can get ourselves in trouble or run into problems. But you can have a good relationship with it. It's just you have to be aware of, you have to be a smart user.
Yeah. It's what am I using this for? And, you know, we've kind of identified what we're all using. We're comedians. So it's, we have a product to promote us. And, you know, that's the primary use.
If you don't want it screenshotted, don't say it. I guess that's my fucking... If you don't want it screenshotted, don't fucking put it out in the world.
I like that, yeah.
It's a good rule of thumb. But, I mean, I just... I go through these exodus things where, like... And I've done it on Instagram, I've done it on Twitter. And it's always very fun to do because it's like a little experiment for me. Because I don't care who... like unfollows me back, but like if I'll go on Twitter or Instagram and I'll be like, okay, I don't talk to this person, I don't care what they post, I'll unfollow them, unfollow, unfollow, like go down the line of like, a lot of the times it's like a celebrity I'm into for like a week who I end up following 6 more times and unfollowing. But it's always very fun for me to like see the fluctuation of like, because I don't like check it regularly, but like when I do delete people, it's like, okay, 335 followers, whatever. I unfollow 20 people and it's like 330 followers the next day. I'm like, who took the fucking time to go through and be like, that motherfucker unfollowed me, son of a bitch. It's like, we don't even interact on social media. What the fuck? What's the point? It's a number. Who gives a shit?
I've done the unfollowing, and here's one thing I'm willing to admit that I'm a little embarrassed, but I'm sure many have probably done it.
Once a week.
But for a while there, like, not necessarily Twitter verified or anything like that. Like, I don't care about that. I feel like that's too much work. But I feel like a lot of people focus on that. But there's this focus that I have to have more followers than people I'm following.
Right, absolutely.
And if I don't, then I'm not cool. Or I'm a loser who just follows a bunch of people and they don't follow back because they don't know me. And I had that, you know, theory for a while, like, oh, I need to get that down. So I would do the list. I would cut it down. And now I'm at a point where I'm just like, you know what? Actually, it's still, I have more followers than people I'm following currently, but I've stopped caring. So now if people come up and they don't follow me back, that's okay. Yeah, oh, well.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, when people, like, one of the things I don't like on Twitter or Instagram, and I did it to one of my good friends the other day. He made another account for, like, his project he's working on. And I sent him a message, like, follow me back, dickhead. Like, just totally being, an asshole. But, like, the other thing is, like, some people don't pay attention to their notifications, like, so much where it's like, oh, this person's following me, I have to follow them back. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I'll see somebody follow me and they'll like a picture and I'll be like, oh, shit. And I'll click on them. I'm like, oh, why wasn't I following them? It's like, it's not always intentional. Sometimes it's very intentional, but a lot of the time it's not, you know? I don't know. I think people are... I think the biggest problem with social media is... For somebody like me who already has a huge ego, I could give a shit less who comments on my stuff and who doesn't. But I think for most people, it's a fucking ego boost. Like, it's like you were saying, like, yeah. who's going to like this, or how many people are going to like this? And like, who gives a shit?
I wonder, too. I had this other theory because I'm a professional counselor. So a lot of what I actually have a presentation about social media, go figure. Where I have to talk about how you create this brand for yourself as a professional. But, and then I hate social media. But one of the things I kind of have thought about is another generational topic. You guys are baby boomers, or not baby boomers, but sorry. No,
I'm a baby boomer.
We are.
My parents came home from the war and had all the sex.
What
are you, Gen X or millennial?
I'm a millennial. I believe you are like right on the cusp of both.
I don't belong to a generation. You
know? No, he's on
are
the
you
cusp.
That mysterious Gen Y?
No, I was born in 1980, so it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. So you are.
I'm on the cusp of both.
Of X and millennial. And I'm a millennial. And a lot of the criticism that millennials get is we came from being raised in a culture or even just our parents where. You're always getting complimented, or we came from that. We were raised by where you can do anything.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Self-esteem was
a fake concept. Yeah.
It's a fake concept that was very, 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 very valued.
Exactly.
In every aspect of your life. Yeah.
And then look who created Facebook, a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes that feeds what we're trying to get away from,
well,
from our upbringing.
One of the things I saw, this was within the last year, but, you know, the generation ahead of us, like, always bitch about us and how, you know, everybody needs a trophy, blah, 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 this, that, the other thing. And then somebody, I didn't make the point, but like somebody was like, yeah, but you guys were the generation giving us the fucking trophies. Yeah. Like, so really for how we, and I put air quotes, how we are, who's really to fucking blame? I think Blink-182 wrote a song about it. I'm not here to say that, though.
Was that early Blink-182?
Anthem Part 2 off of Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Oh.
Before they really started sucking. Well, they never sucked before that. I'm sure Sheer would disagree, but afterwards they were not any good.
Tune in next week where Sheer talks about Blink-182.
We're going to do our first two-person episode?
No, we're not.
I hate Blink-182.
Do you?
I don't hate Blink-182. I love Travis Barker.
No, you're wearing your hat backwards. Of course you don't hate Blink-182.
I'm wearing my hat backwards because it keeps bumping into the pop filter. It's like, I don't like wearing my hat backwards because it says things about me that aren't true.
He's a gangbanger.
I mean, you know, put in the right situation.
He's a thug.
I'm not a thug.
Side note, I did watch Goon 2 finally because they put it on Netflix.
How was it? It's on Netflix?
Yeah. It's right. Not nearly as good as... Because the first one's a classic. Like, that is a classic movie. Second one holds up. It's got its points. It's not as good as the first one, though.
Okay.
You ever seen Goon with Sean William Scott where he plays the hockey player?
That's different than the Goonies, right?
Yes. No, he plays a hockey player who's not any good at hockey, but he's good at kicking ass.
Oh.
And it's a very good movie. Like, when I tell people that, they're like... Sean William Scott, Stifler, fuck that guy. He doesn't play Stifler. He actually acts in this movie, and it's great. But yeah, Goon, stuff.
I was supposed to take somebody out to see that, so that's good news for me.
Well, they didn't really, it didn't get a wide release in the States.
It did not, and so. I found it for rent, but now that it's on Netflix, I'm just like, hey, Netflix and chill. No, I can't say that. I'm not going to say Netflix and chill.
You just said it.
Yeah.
You have to add hashtag.
That's why I hate social media. Yeah. Hashtags.
No,
hashtags.
Yeah, but your hashtag is Netflix and kill. That he's writing it down. And when am I going to start getting credit for this shit? God damn it.
You're not. I'm going to take it and make it mine. And then later on when this episode is released, they're like, oh, that's why he tweeted that at 6:49.
That's another thing is like I fucking hate how Facebook, like, it'll tell you like when you're at, like, tells people when you're active if you use the Messenger app.
Yes.
It's like, motherfucker, if I'm trying to ignore you, leave me the fuck alone. I have Messenger for one reason, and it's for Sheer. If you can see that I'm fucking active, I hate that. Like, what? How do you know I'm not dead in the ditch? Because you were on Facebook 5 minutes ago. Fuck! Mm. God damn it. I hate that shit.
Yeah. So how active of a user would you say you are, Ginger? Are you a casual user? Are you like pulling out your phone every 10 minutes to see what happened?
Well, what's funny is you can't see it, obviously. I have my phone right next to me, and I have to put a disclaimer. I'm on call for work. So I really hope I don't get any calls right now.
Somebody might need counseling.
Yeah, we're right fucking here.
But so it's usually not by me this close all the time.
Okay.
But when I have a lot of downtime, I really enjoy like laying in bed or on the couch just scrolling and all the different apps. But probably like a few times a day where it's just devoted to checking it. But one of my other pet peeves with social media is when somebody's constantly on it or checking it, or you're trying to have a conversation with them, or even, you know, when we're out at comedy shows, sometimes people bring it out. But then I find myself wanting to bring it out if I'm bored. So.
That's the thing. I am that guy that will bring out his phone in the middle of your set and is nothing personal. Is just, I've heard everything. Because I've been doing this for 12 years.
You made a video about it.
Oh, what's this video? I have to...
Meet Jeremy Shear. It's the Sad Boys Social Club video.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's really funny.
Okay.
I've been doing this for so long. I've heard everything.
Like, I'll explain one little bit to you. It's just, like, Shear outside of his, like, fake show, like, smoking cigarettes. And people telling him, like, well, what do you think of this joke? And him just going... I've seen him do it to people. So that's what I was like, that's accurate. And it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I actually, there was a comedian, I went to go see a buddy of mine feature at the Funny Stop, because it was his first feature week, and I was like, oh, this is great, and so I didn't pay attention to the MC set, because I didn't care, so I had my phone out, and the headliner goes up to him, my friend, and goes, what's your friend doing with his phone out in the showroom? And he's like, oh, it's... Don't worry about it. He's like, you know, I'm going to take it if I go up. And he's like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And so he tells me this out of time, and I start screaming that I'm going to murder a hack. So it's like, look, I understand that, you know, it's a disheartening thing to look out there in the crowd and see me on the phone. But you have two options. Me on the phone, me in your face.
Yeah, I was going to say, Hacksaw Jeremy Shear.
Is that a new one?
That is a new one I just came up with for him. But yeah, that's Hacksaw Jeremy Shear is the new.
I'm going to start bringing a 2x4 with me. It won't fit in my tiny
hands. The fact that you're not allowed to carry a knife anymore, if you just started carrying a 2x4, I have your back. I'll have your back any day, but you start carrying on a 2x4 and hitting people I don't like, I'm fucking all there.
You would look like Jesus.
Tough guy!
It's so funny because a couple episodes ago, we were talking about like if I were Jesus, that I like if I saw everything going on today, I'd be like, fuck these people. I'm not dying for their sins. But Shear's not dying for anybody's. He's killing people for their sins. You're kind of like the Jewish trashy version of the Saint of Killers from Preacher.
In that, that I'm reliving the horrors that I've experienced.
Yes, I made that connection for a very specific reason. But now you're going to make people pay.
Yeah, go out into the world. So you're a counselor. If comedians were collectible, would you counsel comedians?
I've been told that I have to rework one of my opening jokes to say that I'm a professional counselor. Half the comedians in this room are my clients. I haven't tried it yet, though, because part of me is the counselor and me is like, that's breaking confidentiality.
Yeah.
Well, you do that, just be like, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, what you were saying back to the checking your phone, I think that's good for people to hear that you're setting a boundary that this is you. Mm-hmm. Whereas if somebody's doing it, but like not, I don't know, just people that are, it kind of goes back to just not being real. Like if you're being mm-hmm. honest with yourself and that, yeah, I'm checking my phone. Like,
yeah,
if you either like it or not.
Yeah, it's just, this is what I do. I have to manage 10 people's schedules at all times because I have multiple different projects.
Because he's got all the time in the world to manage everybody else's time.
Basically, that's what it seems like.
I love you. You know I do.
Yeah, I know. That was the most unconvincing Han Solo ever.
I know. You gotta give it some bread. I know.
Yeah.
You gotta say like Harrison Ford real quiet.
Yeah, I can't do Harrison Ford.
Is that your social media blown up?
It is a phone call, but it's not on call.
Yeah. So that is something that it shows. It does get. I understand, especially when people are up front and they're on their phone. Like I'm in the back. Like I'm always in the back. I never sit up front. So it's like, don't look at me anyway.
I actually had somebody just at I work in a big giant office building, and in the summer I went to like just do a walk around the complex, and I wanted to take my phone with me, and so I was looking on my phone, but being the stereotypical millennial and just looking at the phone and walking, and I almost bumped into this guy, and I could tell he was older, probably a baby boomer, and he's like, geez, is it that important? Like, always on your phone. And then I developed this complex, like, oh, no, when I get my phone out, like, people are going to have that judgment about me. And it's just, that's another thing that I have
fuck,
to manage.
Fuck him. Somebody didn't run into him during the fucking war while he was taking a sip of his canteen. Suck my dick, old man. I'll do what I want.
I almost crashed into an old lady the day after Pokemon Go came out.
Is that still going on?
It's still going on. There are still people that I know that play it. I had to stop playing it because it was using too much data.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but I liked it because it was like, ooh, I can, like, walk around and, you know, push buttons. I like pushing buttons, and I like walking around. So.
I never had it.
I tried it for, I think I maybe got, like, three or caught three.
Yeah, and they're just like, well, this is enough for me.
Yeah.
That's fair. No, it was just a lot of my friends were getting really into it, and I was like, oh, good for you. You're actually out and, like, in public and doing stuff. That's great, because they're not...
Publicing?
Yeah, they're not really known for publicing. And, you know, there were these groups of people that were meeting up to play. It was a great thing. And then I made the comment, like, hey, now that people are playing Pokemon Go, maybe we should fucking fly her. And everybody's like, you're an idiot. I'm like, no, I'm being serious. Like,
Pokemon Go, fuck yourself. I'm sure I'm not the first person to use that joke, but in
year
that
and
sense,
a half
it was
too
good.
Late.
Yeah.
Year and a half too late.
Shear just saw bad news, and this is going to be coming 4 weeks late for everybody else. Paige will not be cleared. She got hurt. Her wrestling career's over. That sucks. That fucking blows. It's a girl we both really like, and she got hurt doing a move last week, and she got kicked in the back and wasn't expecting it, and her face bounced off the mat, and she won't be cleared. That sucks.
What kind of wrestling is this?
Professional wrestling, not amateur wrestling.
No.
I'm not, what do you think? I'm gay?
Yes. Yes.
That'll piss somebody off who doesn't take a joke very well. I'd never say that on Facebook.
Ginger, I have to explain this to you now. He's in a gay relationship. Because he's
gay. With Jeremy Shear.
No, not with me. With Chelsea King, who is a comedian. Comedian, gay relationship.
Now, this is the world according to Jeremy Shear. You need your own fucking Facebook app. Like, I don't, we'll just call it Sheer. Or yeah. Sheer Brilliance. Or
Sheer Brilliance. Or what was the one you came up with earlier? You came up with something.
There's Hacksaw. That's his one where he's going to kill people with a 2x4.
Tough guy!
Ho!
Yeah.
I forget what the other one was. But
yeah. USA. USO.
You are gay! You are gay!
I gotta learn to throw up a board and catch it now.
Oh, dude, you're gonna give yourself a fucking concussion.
Good.
Then you won't be cleared.
No, I won't be cleared. You're right. Yeah, no, I really like women's wrestling. It's just a thing
I've had for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to collect old All Japan women's tapes before the internet. That was how I watched it.
I was recently quoted by our friend BJ. She writes for a ton of, websites and stuff, and I was drunk one night and I was like, there's two things that can make me cry: Star Wars and women's wrestling. And that's out in the world now, so
yeah, it is,
because BJ has a much bigger reach than we do.
Let it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Ginger, do you play Facebook games?
No.
You're not one of those annoying fucks that's like, here's an invite.
No, but I had been working on a little bit where I'm jealous of certain people because they just don't give a fuck and they do whatever they want. And I, even as a comedian, I struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little insecurity in me. But one of the things is people who play Facebook games or you know, get into these long diatribes on Twitter, 10 different tweets.
Yeah.
I'm actually jealous of that because they really truly don't care. Or like you were saying earlier, the people who post, share this if you love somebody who doesn't love you and they'll love you back and share it 10 times. That's annoying, but it's also another way to look at it is they really don't care.
No.
And I admire that.
I don't know. There's things I don't know. Because I could say I don't care, but that only applies to certain, because there are things where I'm there will be times where I'm typing something. I'm this needs to be out in the world. I'll read it and I'll be like, no, it doesn't. And just delete that shit immediately. Because I'm like, you sound like a fucking asshole. And I'm glad that little lapse in judgment I had came back. You know what I mean? You don't always get them back. And that's why I don't delete shit. Because I'm like, nope, if you're going to post that, you dumb, drunk fuck, you're going to own it, too. And that was my biggest problem for a long time, was drunk tweeting.
Oh.
That was where I would say the first 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 tweets is all that bullshit. So go have fun with it.
Yeah,
go
that have would fun. Be fun.
Oh, it's not. I've tried. It's embarrassing as fuck, but have at it.
But kudos for you for not deleting it.
No, I won't. I refuse to. Yeah. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, no. I use the Facebook on this day to find some things that I would not be proud of putting out into the world from back when I first started using social media. It's like, yeah, this doesn't need to be here anymore. So that is its purpose for me. It's not like, oh, this is a funny thing I said. It's like, what did I say? No, this doesn't need to be here.
Yeah, I think I deleted it because I joined when it first came out, Kent State was one of the first campuses to get it. And I think that was 2004. So I joined, and then it was funny because when it first came out, or at least Facebook came out, I don't know if anybody remember. Did you go to Kent? Or you shook your head as if you...
No, I just remember when that whole thing happened because it was right when I moved back. And so my sister had Facebook, but I was still just getting into MySpace because it's a comedy thing.
Yeah, because isn't that how Dane Cook got
really famous? Yeah, it's how Dane Cook and Tila Tequila bunch of other people got famous. Dane Cook will be at the Roxino in May.
He still does shit, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he was the biggest comic in the world at one point, and he was selling out 20,000
Yeah,
series?
I remember.
I don't know. That episode, and of course, obviously, without saying, fuck Louis C.K., but that episode that they did together where he called him out for stealing jokes, like, the way that was written was very fucking good.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, the way they went back and forth was good. But I never thought I'd say fuck Louis C.K. more than fuck Dane Cook. Like, you could be a... I much prefer a hack over a fucking creep any day of the week. I don't know. Right. What do I know? There could be shit coming out about Dane. Dane Cook's probably one of those dudes that you think's an asshole, but he's actually probably a really nice guy.
Could be.
Could be.
Kind of comes across as douchey.
Well, look at his haircut. Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely comes off like an asshole, but...
But see, so when you mentioned Louis C.K. and the episode and just the... I think that's another, maybe a negative of social media, especially if you've become very famous, is that that's just your identity. And then if you screw up and do something, all of your accomplishments then are completely thrown out, because I think we've become so black and white in our perception of people that, and then when it's put out there on social media.
That's definitely an interesting take on it. I agree with you on the fact that we've become very black and white, and a lot of people refuse to see what's in the middle. It's very pick a side, and I don't care what anybody says. Not in everything, but in a lot of things, there are gray areas, and those have to be addressed, and they are not addressed.
Like when I inadvertently shove a finger up your ass and you come.
Yeah, that's a gray area.
Like, you know, I assaulted you, but you came.
Yeah, and also a gay area that I didn't know we were going to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know what?
You're in a room with a counselor, it comes out.
No, it's... You're right, we have gotten more black and white. I think that's a reaction to having to look at things in shades of gray for so long, because we've had, you know, the 90s, we had Bill Clinton, like, where we had economic prosperity for the white middle class. Meanwhile, everything else went to shit. And the only thing that we, you know, we held him as a on this pedestal of could do no wrong, but at the same time, like, you know, all these terrible things happen with women. So it's like, well, we got to take the good with the bad, so it's a shade of gray. And then, you know, it's people grew up idolizing Woody Allen, but, you know, he groomed and married his daughter. So
yeah, like, that one,
we have to do shades
that
of gray.
One's tough.
All right, yeah, but dude, like Roman Polanski.
Not anymore, it's tough.
Fucked a 13-year-old or however old that girl was.
Yeah, but we have to take in shades of gray because he made Chinatown.
Well, he also made The Ninth Gate, which I like a lot. I'm one of those people, though, not with every person, but I can separate the art from the artist. Like,
you know who I can't? And this is funny because he's not even that talented. Is Chris Brown? After he assaulted Rihanna, anytime I hear a song of his on, I just I can't listen to it.
That's the thing, is like when it's a singular person. Like Roman Polanski made a movie. Woody Allen makes movies. Granted, he puts himself in them, but whatever. Louis C.K. He's portraying a certain version of himself. And he's trying to make things okay by masking what he did or does through quote unquote jokes. Same thing with Chris Brown. Fuck that guy. He's a piece of shit. He's a one singular performer. Like, that's it. Like, as far as like movies and music, I can kind of differentiate. And it also depends on how much I like the person's art in the first place.
Do you listen to Screeching Weasel?
Ben, that girl deserved to get punched in the face. No, she did. Straight up. If you're going to... Like, even my Aunt Katie said, Ben Weasley is the singer of Screeching Weasel, like, punk rock band.
Oh, okay.
Who reunited after so many years. And when they were first doing their reunion shows, a girl got on stage, and I don't know if she even, like, assaulted him, but, like, I'm sorry, you're a performer on stage, and if somebody gets over... If somebody crosses a line... Look what happened to Dimebag Darrell from Pantera. Somebody got on stage and shot him with a gun and killed him. I'm sorry. If somebody comes at you, you have every right to fucking knock him out. I mean, dude, Afro Man did the same fucking thing. Somebody jumped on stage and he knocked a bitch out. Like, I'm not saying I would hit a fucking woman, but...
I was going to jump on stage, but then I got punched.
I mean, like, violence doesn't have to be the answer, but if you're a public figure and you feel that you may be threatened, hey, fucking swing for the stars.
Well, I think if you're on stage, too, you're in the moment performing, you're not even thinking, oh, I shouldn't hit a woman.
Right.
You're in flight or fight mode.
Right. I mean, like, who just did the dude from Queens of the Stone Age just was an asshole. Some girl was taking, a photographer was taking a picture, and, like, she's in front of the barricade, you know what I mean? So she's allowed to be there. And he came up and kicked the fucking camera out of her hand, and it's like, why are you gonna be an asshole, dude?
Welcome,
like,
to the jungle!
Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, I know. It's an Axl Rose reference because Axl Rose
is
was notorious for doing shit like
that. I was gonna say, did the Queens of the Stone Age cover Guns N' Roses that I didn't know about?
See, this is where my my status in Generation X is confirmed.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses references are great! Next, we're gonna talk about what?
Or the spaghetti incident.
Yeah, that's still a great album.
It is.
So, yeah, but going back to the larger point here, social media does make it easier to drag somebody. That's what the kids are calling it these days, right? Dragging.
What the fuck did you just say?
Drag, as in, you know, drag somebody's name through the mud. Dragging for short.
Okay, yeah, so it's
drag
like
through the mud. But
okay, yeah. So it's like what's the other word that people use? Like the, I don't know, calling out. So this is like the calling out culture shit. Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, there's that, and then there's, you know, anytime a nasty rumor comes out, it's easy, very easy to spread. It's not like, well, think about it this way. Do you get your celebrity gossip from the internet now, or do you get it from supermarket tabloids?
The internet.
Yeah, yeah, without definitely, doubt, especially internet. Like Reddit. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Threads.
Now, we could do another show about Reddit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I get into some weird shit on Reddit, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like there's just, I don't know what it is about me, but I fall down these weird fucking rabbit holes, and I find myself on weird fucking threads. I'm like, why am I reading this?
Are you more of a lurker?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I don't. Here. I've never posted on Reddit one time. Never, yeah. Not once. I go there to find links for live streaming shit and to creep. That's it. It's yeah. Simple. It's that simple.
Can you think of an example where somebody had their reputation wrongfully sullied by having it shared over and over again on Facebook? Anybody?
I don't know.
It makes you think.
Yeah.
Is it really a bad thing?
Well, we don't necessarily always hear about people's redemption more than we hear about their transgressions, so.
Well, there was that guy in New York that was called out as a rapist on social media, and then he got a Super Bowl commercial. Aaron Glazer. It was big news, and I don't know. I guess
I don't know. I just don't know
what
who
was
that
the
is.
Commercial.
I don't remember the commercial.
Oh.
It's one of those things where it's like he's just a dude. You know, he wasn't a famous comic anyway. He produced a show at UCB, which doesn't fucking pay anybody anyway. So who gives a shit? But you know, a couple of women accused him of rape. It got all over social media, and what brought it to more mainstream attention is Kurt Metzger got on Facebook and discussed, is it okay to be dragging this guy's name through the mud based on anonymous allegations?
Mm.
And by asking that question, then his name got dragged through the mud, and because he was a writer for the Amy Schumer show, then that got dragged into it, and Amy had to disavow him. So that was a big mess. That is the only thing that I can think of, is that Kurt Metzger probably did not deserve to be dragged for asking questions. And I realize that that's something Kurt does. He's like a provocateur, if you will. But that's his role.
I'd say a big problem, though, with social media, we really haven't covered, like, you know, there's a, like, Trump will do something fucking stupid, or like Matt Lauer, for example, what a piece of shit he is. When was the last time you heard about Matt Lauer, though? Like, after that initial thing, it's like, that's a big problem, I think, with social media, is things come and go. It's the world we live in. Yeah, it's the world we live in. But I think that's a big part due to social media, because it's like, okay, what's next? Like, you know, it was Harvey Weinstein, and then it was like, boom, this person, this person, this person. And then now those names you're not hearing as much. And I understand they're going to be in litigation and the details aren't going to be there. But, like, it's people just gloss over shit so easily now.
I remember when the Louis C.K. stuff happened, a lot of people on Reddit, oddly enough, were saying, like, I think in a couple years this will quiet down, it'll blow over, and we'll be seeing him again. And
it's unfortunately probably the truth, though, and depending on what happens. But, I mean, that shit that came out about Hulk Hogan. A couple years ago.
That's right, yeah.
That, well, I guess it was, what, 4 years ago at this point? 3 or 4 years ago. He'll be back in the WWE's good graces probably this year. I mean, he said some pretty egregious fucking awful shit.
Yeah.
And, but, like, things take time. People give and get passes. It's
Michael Richards, he hasn't come back, right?
Oh, no, he did. Came back, yeah. I mean, it was after that. I mean, because that was got to be
close. He did Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Is that really a comeback?
He did a full season of Curb. He was on a full, and they addressed it in there. Because Larry David's not going to address that. He's going to make him relive it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, when he came back, it was to address, like, him being an idiot.
Yeah, which gave him a little bit of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people don't get redemption, though. I mean, and I don't think they deserve it. Like, Louis C.K., in my opinion, he doesn't deserve it. Like, Michael Richards said some pretty awful shit to somebody, probably immediately regretted it, I would imagine. But, you know, the guys like Louis C.K., Weinstein, whatever... I think that that's a part in their brain that's never gonna switch the other way. I firmly believe that. I don't believe in predatory recovery. I think that's bullshit. I've been called out for saying that before. But I think that, like, if you have that ingrained in you, like, and I'm not saying people haven't made mistakes and stuff. Not everybody. I mean, we talked about it in the last podcast, like, not everybody's a predator. You know, some people are problematic, but, like, shit like that, they shouldn't get passes. You don't get passes for taking somebody's fucking humanity away from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's my personal opinion.
So, you're a professional. What's your professional opinion? Is there a possibility for redemption for being a predator?
I'm wondering, like, why you got so much flack for having that opinion, because that's the more opinion that I see, that some people just can't change. And there's actually argument, or not really argument, but debate in the field about even putting those as diagnoses in our diagnosing book, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if somebody is,
I think
specifically a sexual predator.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, cause I'm not gonna, it's not my place. I mean, I know the story's out there, but I don't really, it's not my place to, like, talk about who it is and shit. But, my friend was assaulted by, more than one person, and it was led by her boyfriend at the time. And she told me that when she saw him later, years on, I mean, she stared him in the fucking face and he came up to her. Now, granted, they were 18 at the time. That doesn't make it okay,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, he was a kid, you know? And she said that, like, he immediately walked up to her and, like, I don't remember if she said he broke down. I'm not going to get all the details correct. But, like, she said that she could tell that he had changed. And, I mean, she was, like, at the same time, like, he was eight. We were kids, you know? Like, people make stupid decisions, but, like, that's a problem, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that that was ingrained in that kid. He might have not thought he was doing anything wrong at the time. He's a fucking kid. But people like Louis C.K., fuck that dude. He did the same shit for years until he got fucking caught. That's psychopath shit. That's serial killer shit.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Not on the
that's
same
where...
fucking level.
Yeah.
At a different level. I know it is the same level, just different, you know? Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm on the... We actually had this big debate at work last week that are rapists and murderers the same? And in my opinion, I think rapists are probably worse because you fucking took somebody's humanity. You know, I mean, taking somebody's life is awful, yes. But when you take somebody's humanity away, they have to live with that.
Hear that? I'm not as bad as you. But I think the reason that we're having this discussion is because of Facebook. It pops up on your feed and it has created a conversation. Is that a bad thing, or is this just a positive side effect of this terrible sickness that has infected your phone?
Like the way you put
it. I thought that was from Pornhub.
Oh, not that terrible sickness. Use Tumblr.
You know I do.
Would you get it? Can't you even write comments on porn videos too?
That's oh yeah, funny. Yeah. Sometimes that's the best like fucking it. Part. Yeah. That's the best part.
My favorite comment I've ever read: needs more dog dick.
Written by Jeremy Shear.
No, it's not me.
At Dirty Shear.
I don't comment on porn videos.
No, dude, I don't want to know. Because everything can be traced, and it doesn't need to be. Like, my Tumblr account, dude, you'll never know it's mine. It's fucking, that shit is buried fucking deep. Very fucking deep. Like, the things I suppress in my life.
Well, the other thing that we haven't, it's partially been covered, but embarrassment that happens because of social media. Obviously, we've covered the more hideous things, but what is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you as a direct result of you being on social media?
Ooh. Well, actually, most recently, it was, I guess it's been a little embarrassing, is my relationship was 8 years long.
Oh, wow.
And I have like over 2,000 pictures documenting the relationship, and it was like, well, do I don't want to like delete all these pictures because there's good
that's
memories.
Like 500 pictures a year. That's more than one picture a day. You have a fucking problem.
This is
who's the counselor
on
now.
I give the disclaimer at every set. I have more problems than the clients.
So anyway, that
yeah, it was more like I had said earlier, like early on in the relationship, you get so excited, like, oh, they're doing all this, that, and I'm gonna put everything you put your whole life on there, and really, you're not you're keeping up this image.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was probably the most embarrassing thing. But then I never drunk Facebooked like putting statuses up, but I've drunk message people.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah,
I would,
yeah, but
want to see
that's
those.
Just an expansion of texting.
Of texting, yeah. More
than texting the Facebook messaging, texting the game, the expansion pack.
Yeah, that really is what it is.
But I will say too, not I don't think it's a bad thing if you share parts of your life still on Facebook.
No,
like, it's. I just probably took it to like a extreme level.
I need everybody to know what's going on.
You were very proud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a whole other thing. I don't like pride.
Oh. Yeah. So, we get to the root of it. You don't like pride.
Maybe that's the problem.
That is the problem. Yeah.
So, you're like, you're a Pulp Fiction fan? Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah.
He's like, Marcellus Wallace? Fuck pride. I've always appreciated that.
Now take my money and throw the comedy contest, Ginger. So, Ginger, where can we find you on the social media for
your
comedy?
Yeah, speaking of. So my name is Ginger, spelled J-I-N-G-E-R. So on Facebook, it's just Ginger Moore.
Okay.
And then on everything else, it's Ginger Balls.
Okay.
B-A-L-L-Z, and the story behind that is just in college, people, I would always get Jinger, because it's with a J, and they just started saying Jinger Balls.
Okay, all right, so, fair enough.
Yeah.
You got anything coming up in a month?
Nope, because I'm just getting started. No, I'm just doing a lot of open mics, and having fun with it.
All right, well, we'll have you back in a year when you're having your mental breakdown like everybody else does. And it'll be a lot of fun because I'm the poster boy for fuck the comedy scene right now. I have been for about a month or two, so.
It is what it is. We have to shout out our sponsors. Thank you very much to Britt Fox because she's not on the Twitter. X-Fox Rocks on the Instagram and Snapchat. You can find her. Jess Falstick at Epic Fall. You can hear her on her own podcast, The Default Setting, on the Above Below Entertainment Network.
That's mine.
Oh, cool. I'm going to do hers in a couple weeks.
Oh, no shit. Awesome. Cool. Very, very cool.
And you can find her every Sunday at Avenue Tap House. And then Play the Stripper Herder. playthestripperherder.blogspot.com. One man's journey through the strip club industry. Ginger, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, very much.
Thank
this
you.
Is a lot of fun. It went by really quick.
Yeah. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates Facebook as much as Ginger Moore.
No, there is another.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Hey, isn't that Jess Falstick?
Nah, that's Sailor Moon. That's Jess Falstick.
Nah, that's just a couch covered in cats.
Oh, well, where's Jess Falstick?
Guys, I'm literally right here.
No, Jess Falstick has blue hair.
No, Jess Falstick's hair looked like she'd be part of the alt-left, if that were a thing.
Didn't she shave her head?
Just come see me every Sunday night at Avenue Tap House at 7 p.m. for the Red Light Comedy Showcase. The first Sunday of the month is open mic, and the last three Sundays showcase Cleveland's best and brightest comedic talent.
You know who's the funniest female comic in Cleveland?
Who's that?
Mary Santora.
God damn it.
That's Jess Falstick.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.